great. The kids were, the teens were singing out, and the music spoke to my heart. And it really, really came to my attention as far as the future of America is us, is the teens in the church. You know, that's the future. And it all comes down to if we're serious or not. And the Lord's really put that on my heart as far as we need revival. And it all comes down to whether or not we're serious about it, whether or not we want it. We look at America and we see all the problems, you know, homosexuality rates through the roof, suicide, everything's at an all-time high, abortion. And we look and I can't help but kind of feel the blame for that because we have the truth in the Bible. We're the ones who know. They were born into darkness. And it's just the Lord's really been putting that on my heart as far as we need revival in the church, and if we were to get it, other people would feel it soon. And that's my message tonight. It's just something Lord put on my heart in the middle of the offertory. But yeah, if you turn in Genesis chapter 33, in verse 17, if you read with me, it says, "And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him an house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padanaram and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money." The title of my message tonight is called The Ministry Well. The Ministry Well. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, God, your watch care over us, your provision for us. We just thank you for this day, God, where we can come to your house, where we can serve you, God. I just pray that you would bring my thoughts together, God, that you would give me strength to preach the word, God, and that I would be an encouragement to the church tonight, God. Just thank you for this time where we can come as a church family and worship you. Just thank you for this day, God. We love you in your name. Amen. And the title of my message tonight isn't anything new. Obviously, we've heard a lot of great sermons here. But it's just something the Lord has put on my heart that the Lord has encouraged me with. And I hope it'll be encouraging to you as well. The first thing we see here, verse 17, is that Jacob journeyed to Succoth. And I'm reminded here that in the same way, when we are saved, we are on a journey. We are on a journey for Christ. And that is our Christian life. And when we start on our journey to Christ, it is amazing that we are immediately commissioned to fulfill the Great Commission. That's what, or immediately. We don't need a special theology degree to be able to preach the word. I know Andrew already mentioned that as far as winning souls. Well, we just need the Bible, and we already know what we need to do. But winning souls, and that's immediately what we're commissioned to do when we're saved. And if we are saved and walking with the Lord, we're going to soon have a desire to be a part of ministries in the church. I think that's natural. We should be looking to help others, looking to help the church as far as ministry. And having a ministry mindset, that's what we need to have. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about tonight. The Lord spoke to my heart as far as ministry. And for many reasons, not everyone is capable of being in the ministries. I know that. But everyone's responsibility as a Christian is to tell others about Jesus. And we know that. And not only did Jacob start on his journey, but what else does he do? It also says he built him a house, and he bought a parcel of field. And on that field, we know Jacob dug a well. He dug a well. And I want to look at wells tonight. Wells were extremely important in Bible times. They were the source of life. Human life, animal life, plant life. You couldn't have life without water. We know that. And the source of water was a lot of times from wells. And so wells were shown to be miraculous. Obviously, you would have to dig for them, and they were directly given to God. Wells were extremely important, and it was the responsibility of the father, just like this is the responsibility of a father to provide for his family. It was the responsibility of a father to dig wells and provide the water for his family. I would like to, if you could, please turn back with me a few pages to Genesis 26. Genesis 26. Look at Genesis 26 and verse 19. It says, "And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, 'For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.'" I have 3 points tonight. The first point tonight is The well must be dug. The well must be dug. I know that's deep. That was for Mr. Amos, pun intended. But the well must be dug. And back in those days, it's not the same way we can dig wells today. They couldn't call Mr. Leslie and hire the backhoe to dig them a well. It's not how it worked. These wells were hand dug. This required physical, manual labor. It was hard work, the sweat of the brow. And because it required hard work, I mean, the process of the wells, it would take several days to dig a well. And if you look at wells, they weren't 6 feet deep, 10 feet deep. I mean, some wells were well over 100 feet deep. And, you know, how is that possible? Well, it was hard work. That's really the only explanation. They didn't have any fancy technology back then. So they would use shovels, they would use trowels of some sort, and they would dig, and they would get dirt up to the top somehow. And that's exactly how wells were dug then. And the first thing I'm reminded of is that the ministry is going to require hard work. A lot of you know that. It's nothing new. I'm not trying to bring anything new tonight, but it's going to require hard work, not physical, but spiritually, emotionally. It's going to require a lot of time. It's going to require a lot of money. That's the ministry. It's going to require hard work. And let me tell you something tonight. I know you guys know it, but you're going to get tired. This summer, I had the opportunity to go to Pastor Jim Leslie's church in Pennsylvania. And the first Sunday I was there, he had an acronym, and I love it, and I still use it today. It's called SAINT, and it means Sunday afternoon is nap time. And I live by that because, I mean, if you guys are on the bus ministry or in Sunday school, junior church, you know what I mean. It's just, there's no really way to explain the Sunday, the ministry, the tiredness you feel from that. It's hard work. It takes a lot of hard work. And that's what I'm trying to say tonight. You're going to get tired. You're gonna get tired, and you're even gonna get discouraged. And I just want to remind you of the verse that says in Galatians 6. I think David mentioned this earlier. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And that's what I'm encouraged about. You know, we're gonna get tired, but you know what? We will reap if we faint not. And I'm reminded, this directly goes with something I had in mind. I'm reminded about a couple months ago. I was working in the kitchen. I have a scholarship job, and Mr. Wright was there, and I was really discouraged. The devil was really beating me up about some of the things I'd done in my past, and it was, I don't know, I was just really super discouraged, and I didn't know what to do. I was just in the dumps, and there walked in the door Mr. Wright, and so, you know, instead of, I didn't want to sit there and act discouraged and all down, so, you know, I said, you know what, I'm going to talk to Mr. Wright. And so I went up to him, and I just sat down with him, and I said, look, this is what I'm down about. This is, you know, I'm discouraged about this. I don't know what to do. And, you know, Coach Wright, you know, there's not a connection with, like, a coach. You don't know a connection unless, you know, the relationship you have with your coach. It's just something like that. It never leaves. And so I just sat down, and, you know, he always has those answers, you know, the Mr. Wright answer. He always has it. And I was waiting for it. And, you know, he sat there for a few seconds. It seemed like a long time. And he said, Stephen, he said, remember Lot's wife. And what? Remember? Now, that's great. You know, I remember her. I do. But, like, how is this going to help me? I mean, you can ask him. This is exactly what he said. And then he went on to explain. He said, you know what? You can be down about your past. But what good is that going to do you? It's not going to do you any good. If you're trying to move forward for Christ, what good is it going to do you to look back? It's not going to do you any good. And that really helps me. Every single day I just remember that. Don't look back. Don't look back at what your past mistakes you've done. You know what? Just keep looking forward. Keep moving forward for Christ. And you know what? You're going to get physically. You're going to get emotionally. You're going to get spiritually tired sometimes in the ministry. You're going to get discouraged. But you know what? I was just reminded of 2 Corinthians 2:5 says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We all know that. And specifically when we're, you know, ministering to, you know, trying to reach a lost soul, we'll say that, you know, you're going to have to give an account for what you do on earth. And you know what? I actually looked at the other side of that verse, and it says that we may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. And let's look at the good. God is going to reward us for our faithfulness to him. That's a promise. God's going to reward us. That's what the ministry is about. And, you know, we're just trying to serve God. But you know what? God's going to reward us for that. We can't even imagine the riches God has for us when we serve him, when we're faithful to him. And if you would, please turn back with me to John 4. In the New Testament, John 4, and John chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, hast nothing to Thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? First, the well must be dug. Secondly, the well must be deep. Like I already mentioned, wells in the old times, wells today, I mean, you can look it up. Very deep, hundreds of feet deep, maybe even up to 1,000 feet deep. That's how deep wells were. And you know what? The well must be deep. You know what? I'm thinking back to Bible times when they would dig a well. You know, what good is it going to do if they go down a couple feet and they get a little trickle of water? What good is that going to do in a month or 2 months? You know, eventually that water is going to dry up. And what good is that well? What good is that work they put into that? Absolutely no good. That literally defeats the purpose of having a well if it's dried up. There's no good. And you know what? The same way, if our ministry isn't firmly grounded deep into God's word, our ministry is going to dry up. We must go throughout our week praying and fasting, even spending time with God, being close with God, so that we can make sure that our ministry is how God is working through our ministry. And you know what? We can't go throughout our day just having known sin in our lives. We have to be tender to God. We have to be confessing known sin. We have to keep close sin accounts with God. And lastly, from out of the well will flow results. God will bless us by getting fruits from our labor. And I want to remind you, you'll see where I'm going with this in a minute. I want to remind you that things are not always the way they seem. You'll see what I mean. A few weeks ago, the college had the opportunity to go to the Christmas lights activity. And the first place we went is Portillo's, and I never get sick of that. But we went to Portillo's, and I was standing in line, and I was there with a few of the college guys. And I heard someone behind me talking and whispering. And, you know, that's the sixth sense you have. You just know it's talking about you or maybe someone in your group. You just know it. You know what I mean. And so we were there, and I was kind of side-eyeing and trying to see, you know, what was going on. And sure enough, they were thugs. And and the guy said to me, he said, hey, yeah, he's talking about you. I said, what? And he said, you know what he said? He said, you look like Kyle Rittenhouse. And some of you remember that. And I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, you were about to get shot. And I'm thinking, no. I mean, I like Kyle, but I'm not taking a bullet for him. And it was funny. And, you know, actually several times at work, I had a lady. She literally said, you look just like him. Brought it up out of the wild blue. Several people came to me and say that I look like him. I don't know why. But you'll see what I mean. And what I said earlier is, things are not always the way they seem. And things are not always how they seem in the ministry either. You'll see what I mean. So we see that Jacob here, he journeyed to Succoth. And we see here in John chapter 4, in verse 11, we see if you read John 4, you're going to understand that Jacob had a well. Jacob dug a well. Now, if you look back in the Old Testament, you're not going to find anywhere in the Bible where it mentions that Jacob dug a well. You're not. You're going to see, obviously we read in Genesis 26, we see that Isaac dug a well. If you read earlier, you see Abraham dug a well. But you don't see Jacob digging a well. But what you do see is you see him having a well. And that same well was the well that Jesus came up to, Jesus sat on. And one of the greatest conversion stories of all time happened right here at Jacob's well. So I had a question for Pastor Darren tonight. Have you ever preached out of John 4 or preached on the Samaritan woman at the well? Okay. And I didn't ask him that before, but I knew he would say yes. I could ask Pastor Smith. I know for a fact he has. Probably Pastor Armacost and all the other pastors in our church. They've probably all preached out of John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. And I just think, you know, the greatest conversion story of all time. And you know what? Because that woman got saved, it's a direct result of what Jacob did. Jacob was responsible. Jacob was faithful. Jacob did what he was supposed to do. Not anything more. It was Jacob's requirement. It was to live. It was Jacob's requirement to dig that well. And that's just such a great testimony to me, to see that hundreds and hundreds of years later, that same well is there. And that same well is providing water. And Jesus was able to use that illustration from Jacob's labor and was able to lead a woman to himself and get saved. And then I want to take one more step back, and I want to look just today, like Pastor Darren said, he's preached out of it. And I want to think about the thousands of pastors and the thousands of preachers, the thousands of teachers that have preached the woman at the well. I have no idea how many since the last 2,000 years have preached about the woman at the well. And I just wonder, I can't help but my imagination, but think of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, I don't know, have gotten saved because of the woman at the well and because all goes back to one man, Jacob. Jacob dug a well. And Jacob was faithful. Jacob was responsible. Jacob did what he was supposed to do. And, you know, it's such a great testimony. I just want to ask you, I love our church, and I love that we have ministry. You know, we have 20-something buses rolling out of here every Sunday. We see people saved. It's exciting. But I just wonder, is there something more you can do? Just ask yourself, is there something more I can do for Christ? And I'm reminded of that because a couple months ago, I asked myself the same thing. God, is there something else I can do for you? And you know what? He'll tell you. He will. You know, and a lot of times we're so busy, so busy doing things, and we don't realize, no, God, what do you want me to do? God, is there something more I can do for you? And you know what? God will show you. And you know what else? If you're overwhelmed, God will also give you the strength to go through that. God will give you the strength to go through your ministry. And it's just, the picture tonight is just, it's so amazing what God was able to do through the life of Jacob. Jacob had no idea. The results are exponential, all because he was faithful. He did what he was supposed to do. And you know what? The Lord is going to reward your faithfulness. In our earthly and fleshly bodies, we cannot understand. We can't even fathom how the Lord will bless us, the riches he'll give to us in heaven. We can't imagine it. And it will all be worth it one day in heaven. And the Lord is waiting for us there with open arms and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day and thank you for this time. We can come together as a church, God, and worship you and praise you, God. Just thank you for this time, God, and just thank you for being with us here tonight, God. Just thank you for this message, God, and speaking to my heart about it. I just pray that if there's anyone here, God, that needs to do more for you, God, I pray that they would make that a commitment this next year, that they would sincerely ask, what more can I do for you, God? Just thank you for this day, God, and thank you for this, as we have a time of invitation, God, I pray that you would be there too. In your name, amen. Let's all stand with our head bowed and our eyes closed for the time of invitation. No one looking around, and I just ask if the Lord's working on your heart, you can come as instruments play. And you know, is there? Just ask yourself: is there anything more I can do for Christ?